Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, The Story of King Vena, Text Number 10. Ahe Iva Paya Posha Poshakasya Api Anartha Brit Vena Prakritya Eva Kalaha Sunitha Garbha Sambhavaha Aheriva Paya Posha Posha Kasyapyanartha Brit Venak Prakriti Yaiva Kalaha Sunita Garbha Sambhava Aheriva Payak Posha Posha Kasyapyanartha Brit Venak Prakriti Yaiva Kalha Sunita Garbha Sambhava Aheriva Payak Posha Posha Kasyapyanartha Brit Vena Prakriti Yaiva Kala Sunita Garbha Sambhava Hariva Payak Posha Posha Kasyapyanartha Brit Vena Prakriti Yaiva Kala Sunita Garbha Sambhava Aheriva Payak Posha Posha Kasyapanartha Brit Venak Prakriti Yaiva Kala Garbha Sambhava Ladies. Ladies, Aheriva Paya Posha, Kasyapyanartha Brit, Vena Prakriti Iva Kala, Sunita Garbha Sambhava, Aheriva Paya Posha. Posha Kasyapyanartha Brit Enak Prakriti Yaiva Kala Sunita Garbha Sambhava Aheriva Bayat Posha Posha Kasyapyanartha Brit Enak Prakriti Yaiva Kala Sunita Garbha Sambhava Ahe of a snake Eva like Paya with milk Posha The maintaining. Poshakasya of the maintainer. Api, even. Anartha, against the interest. Brit, becomes. Vena, King Vena. Prakritya, by nature. Eva, certainly. Kalaha, mischievous. Sunita, of Sunita. Vena's mother. Garbha, the womb. Sambhavaha, born of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The sages began to think within themselves, because he was born from the womb of Sunita, King Vena is by nature very mischievous. Supporting this mischievous king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk. Now he has become the source of all difficulties. Please repeat. The sages began to think within themselves. Because he was born from the womb of Sunita, King Vena is by nature very mischievous. Supporting this mischievous king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk. Now he's become the source of all difficulties. Purport. Saintly persons are generally aloof from social activities and the materialistic way of life. King Vena was supported by the saintly persons just to protect the citizens from the hands of rogues and thieves. But after his ascendance to the throne, he became a source of trouble to the sages. Saintly people are especially interested in performing sacrifices and austerities for the advancement of spiritual life. But Vena, instead of being obliged because of the saints' mercy, turned out to be their enemy because he prohibited them from executing their ordinary duties. A serpent who is maintained with milk and bananas simply stores poison in his teeth and awaits the day to bite his master. The verse text again. Ahe riva paya posha posha kasya pyanarta brit venak prakriti aiva kala sunita gharba sambhava. The sages began to think within themselves, because he was born from the womb of Sunita, King Vena is by nature very mischievous. Supporting this mischievous king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk. Now he's become a source of all difficulties. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Sitarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Chaturavanya Mayashishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha Tasya Kartram Apimam Vidyakartam Aviyam. But according to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the corresponding four divisions of human society have been created by me. And although I am the creator of the system, I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. In other words, from Krishna's point of view, from the point of view of reality, every soul has been put into a body. And that body has a certain duties to perform. And if one performs those duties, then one becomes elevated. And if one doesn't perform those duties, one becomes degraded. The duties are natural, Krishna says, born out of the modes of nature. The Vana and Ashram system, basically speaking, the duties are Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Everyone is supposed to be trained up with Dharma. Dharma means what are our duties? What are we supposed to be doing? And what we're not supposed to be doing. Those who don't know that, they're called demons. Pravritim cha, nivritim cha. Janana vidu arasaram. Nasocham napichachara, nasatyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demons, they don't know what's to be done. They don't know what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. So here Krishna points out, there are certain very important duties like cleanliness and truthfulness. Two of the prominent legs of religion, and then proper behavior such as mercy and austerity. The demons, they don't know about these things. Matter of fact, adharmam, dharmam itiya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatan viparitam cha, vidisaparta tamasi. They think that religion is irreligion. And they think that irreligion is religion. And therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. But the devotees of the Lord, they know how things go on in this universe. It is not a Hare Krishna idea of what reality is. It is reality. It is not that the Hare Krishnas have a book, like the Christians have a book, and the Muslims have a book, and we hold up the book and say, this is our idea, everyone should surrender to it. No, this is reality, and it is very simple to understand. Anyone who's a little simple can simply understand what this simple philosophy is. But those who are crooked, Srila Prabhupada would say, it is very difficult for them to understand. For instance, according to Bhagavad Gita, according to reality, everyone has a body that's changing. No one can deny that. If someone does deny it, that means they're insane. And there's no use talking to people who are insane because they have no possibility of understanding things that are sane. The body, everyone knows, is changing. And everyone has the direct experience. There's nothing more direct than that experience than the fact that we're not changing, that we're spiritual beings. Spiritual means that we're eternal and we're in a body that's changing, that's called material. Being a spiritual soul, we're now trying to become happy permanently in an unhappy world. That means we don't have any knowledge of actually how to become happy. So Jagat Krishna says, Sahajagna prajashvisva puro prokta prajapati anena prasavishadvam eshiyos vistakarmadu. Then in the very beginning of creation, the Lord sends forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and bless them by saying, be thou happy by the sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily in this material world and for making spiritual progress. So living happily in this material world is not a very complicated thing. Living happily in the material world means to get some good food to begin with. Anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava. That all living entities subsist on food grains. Food is actually what everyone's working for, so hard for, in materialistic society or in any society. Our first necessity is good food. That includes also not only the food we're eating, because that's not the only food, but also the air we're breathing, the water we're drinking. These are the necessities of life. Computers, cars, videos, these are not necessities of life. And to give up clean water, clean air, pure food, healthy food, so we can have computers and videos and gambling houses and whatever else, slaughterhouses, this is not a good idea. This is what is not to be done and giving up what's to be done. Because this body is a machine. The machine works a certain way according to the laws of nature. And it's not good to not have pure water, clean air, and fresh food. No one will argue that if a car is meant to have a certain amount of type of fuel, certain amount of lubrication, etc., that that's not a good idea. That better to put in milk instead of gasoline, because that's what I feel like putting in. You may feel like putting that in, but that's not what it says in the manual, how the car works. So one should find out, if you want your car to work properly, what is required for the car to work properly. Unfortunately, the demons, they don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know what they're supposed to eat. They don't know the value of clean water, fresh air. They don't know what's not to be done. They don't realize these factories that they're producing to turn out the cars, to turn out the videos, the computers, that's spoiling the actual, or that's detracting from the actual necessities of life. And there's no truthfulness because they don't know that they're not their body. They don't know that they're not supposed to be inventing ways to enjoy and control the material world. Therefore, whatever they do is untruthful. If one does not know that he's not his body, that he's a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything he's doing is untruthful because he's in ignorance. Where is there a question of truth if you're in ignorance? There may be different varieties of ignorance. Some people are consciously untruthful, and some people are unconsciously untruthful. But either way, it's a type of untruthfulness. And they don't know that by performance of sacrifice, that's how the necessities of life is supplied. Things are not going on automatically. Just like as I mentioned before, in Russia, when they invaded France during the Napoleonic Wars, somehow or another Russia won. And when they came to France, they noticed that there was a very nice arrangement for getting water. The French people would go to a pole, a stick, which was attached to their house. They'd turn a little knob and water would come out of the stick, the metal stick or the metal pipe. So the Russians thought this would be very nice for my grandparents back at home. So they pulled the metal pipe out of the wall, they put it into their packs, walked back to Russia. And when they came back to Russia, they stuck the pole or the pipe into the wall, called all their family together, turned the little spigot, and lo and behold, no water came out. They tried to repeat whatever French words they had learned, but it still didn't work. They didn't realize that there's actually an arrangement by which things are working to even to produce water from a pipe. Similarly, the sun is evaporating water. It's forming clouds. The clouds are raining down the water on the mountains. The mountains freeze the water, and during a certain season, when the sun becomes stronger, it again evaporates the ice, forms into rivers, fertilizes the fields, and supplies fresh water to the people. And that same water comes down back to the sea. There's an arrangement made by superior control that provides the necessities of life to man. But the demons, they say, asatyam apratishtam te jagaro horanishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kemanyat kamahaitukam. They say the whole world's unreal, that we make out of the world whatever we want, and that's what the world becomes. It has no God. It has no foundation. It produces sex desire and has no other cause in lust. Simply rocks getting together, producing mice, and mice producing monkeys, whatever. They've created this whole science fiction in the name of reality, and people have become so dull because of their sinful activities that they blindly follow the falsities arising out of simply mental concoction, and blindly they go on seeking happiness in a way that will simply cause them more and more problems and misery. And in spite of all the problems and misery they're creating, simply by some propaganda in the newspapers and the radio and the television and the educational system, people are thinking we're making progress. But that progress is andaya tandera upagiyamanas tepisha tantra urudhamibhara. The blind people are being misled by the blind leaders. Therefore, those who have eyes, as Prahlad Maharaj says, what is that next verse? Tesha Arukramanis, that one should take the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee and place it on his head. Only that way. What's the first word? Naishamatis Tavarukraman Green Sprishat Yanarta Bhagavat Yanarta Mahiasam Paruja Pasekam Niskinchananam Navrinita Yadva. That one should take the dust of the lotus feet and place them upon the head. What does that mean? That we have to hear from persons who actually have some vision. That vision is not complicated, it's very simple. Explaining to people the reality of this world is not very complicated. It's exactly what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. The world has a God. It's actually under his control. He's designated that control to the demigods, although he controls them also through their heart as the super soul. And he says, Jagnat tat karmanonyatra loko yam karma bandhanat. If you want the necessities of life, you have to perform sacrifice. So everyone, even to get the food that we need, it requires sacrifice, or the water, or the air. Now that people are not performing sacrifice, they're still doing something, but what are they doing? They're creating problems. They're creating the impure air, the contaminated water, the impure food. They're manufacturing this by their sinful activities. And one should understand everyone is supposed to perform sacrifice. If one performs sacrifice, Krishna says, Devam bhavayata dena te deva bhavayantuva parashparam bhavayantak shayak param avapsita. The demigods who are in charge of the different necessities of life, they reciprocate and provide all the necessities to man, the real necessities. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, the Shudras assisted the Vaishyas, they grew the food. They collected the ingredients for sacrifice. And when the Kshatriyas engage the Brahmanas in the sacrifices, the Brahmanas do their proper training. Being in the mode of goodness, were able to invoke. What did they ultimately get? They ultimately provided the environment by pleasing the demigods, by which there was clean air, fresh water, pure food, peace in the world. Everyone got their necessities. There was no big struggle to get them. Just by a little sacrifice, everything was provided. And then at the same time, with a peaceful mind, people could hear about Krishna, they could understand things properly, and they could try to get out of the material world, moksha. They knew what the goal of life is, how to factually become happy, not to work hard like an ass, eat like a hog, sleep like a bear, and then defend oneself like a tiger, and think that one is a big, big person in this world. But actually one has just become the biggest animal, that's all. America is so proud, it's the most powerful country, but what has it become? It's become like the most powerful animal in the world, and all the other little animals are afraid of it, that's all. They're offering respects by not growling so loud. But that's not the purpose of human life, nor is it the purpose of any leader The leader should understand things clearly and then lead others. So America has that responsibility to understand reality and lead all the other nations so that people can become factually happy, prosperous, and peaceful by enlightening them how things are factually working. Those who are demons, they cannot understand the difference between matter and spirit. They cannot understand how matter is working. But everything there is in the Bhagavad Gita. Everything there is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, if we distribute this knowledge to the innocent people, and if we create an environment by which they become enthusiastic or inspired to read this literature, then the result is that they'll become enlightened and they'll be able to elect, because this is the age of democracy, they'll be able to elect leaders who actually have some knowledge. They'll be able to, as Krishna says, evam parampara praptam imam rejarshiyo vidu sakalene ha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. That Krishna specifically, he wanted enlightened leaders because then they can properly direct the citizens. They can make laws that are in conformity with the laws of nature, that are not contradicting the laws of material nature. And when people follow those laws and perform, make their lives into a sacrifice, then prosperity will reign for all, not for a few persons, so-called prosperity, and then become a dog in your next lifetime. That real prosperity is to live here happily, peacefully, gratify the senses, and then in a way that they're actually satisfied, and then make plans to go back to the spiritual world. Get out of this miserable condition of life. And that's all there in these books. Therefore, if we print the books, if we distribute the books, if we try to live according to the books, we find out what our duties are, and we live according to them, then the result is we'll become enlightened, we'll be able to direct others towards the path of enlightenment, and the world will make a change for the better. As it says here in this purport, it is not that the devotees, they're simply supposed to become happy themselves, dance and chant, and watch everyone else go to hell. And think, well, that's what demons are supposed to do. They're supposed to go to hell. We're supposed to go back to the spiritual world. No, they take compassion for the unenlightened people by making plants. As Prahlad Maharaj said, Naiva dvije paradratya vaitaranyas tvavirena gayana mahamrita magnachitak sochevi mukacheta sa indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udvato vimuran. That I've learned how to chant Hare Krishna in ecstasy. So that when I chant Hare Krishna, the whole spiritual world comes into my remembrance. But I'm lamenting to see these rascals, they're working hard day and night to create so many objects of sense gratification, spoiling their lives, and simply going, making problems for themselves. I'm lamenting to see this, and I'm trying as hard as I can to enlighten them. So in one sense, it's not very hard. It's not that we can't figure out how to do it. Prabhupada has given us a direction. Everything Prabhupada gave us, from book distribution to the farm projects to the gurukuls to the cultural revolution to the deity worship, it's all meant to enlighten ourselves and enlighten others, make society Krishna conscious so that people understand how to make their lives better and better, get out of the modes of ignorance and passion, become enlightened, understand things clearly, and then go back to the spiritual world. And if we don't do that, if we don't establish what Prabhupada has already given us, we may do so many other things, but it's very unlikely we're going to make any real substantial progress, either to helping others, and what to speak of helping ourselves. So with that happy note, we'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Maharaj, you were speaking about basing everything on the books, accepting what's in the books, representing what's in the books, living what's in the books. But what about those who say, well, it's not so easy to understand what the books actually say. They were meant for a particular time, place, and circumstance, and now we've advanced. We've got other insights. So to us, the books may mean something different than they did, you know, at the time they authored, and, you know, question, well, is it really necessarily to take this part so literally? And, you know, how do you deal with that?
Well, William Blake once said, we both read the Bible day and night. I read white and you read black. I read black and you read white. But the fact is that this literature is beyond time and space. It's apurusheyam. It's not something that we concocted by fallible sources. Now, we may not understand the literature, but that does not mean that because we don't understand it, therefore, according to my perception of it or your perception of it, that's what it is. Therefore, if we can't understand it, some parts we may understand better than others. Therefore, we should humbly investigate. And after humbly investigating, doing what's necessary to understand it, then when we do see it clearly, then we'll know what to do. And if we don't understand it, then we should go on humbly investigate it by submission, by inquiry, by service. And when we do become enlightened, then we can act accordingly. But it is not that because I think 1 + 1 = 3, it's become 3. When Krishna says your body's changing, but you yourself and then the body are not changing, that's an eternal fact. Whether I understand it or you understand it or we don't understand it, it makes no difference. That's what reality is. Now, to find out what that reality is, that's why we have the Association of Devotees. Mach chitta, mach kata prana, bodhi antash parashparam, gataya antashtam mam nityam, tu shanti cha ramanti cha. The devotees, they discuss these things amongst themselves. And by doing them, they become enlivened and enlightened. To do what? Tesham sadatam yuktanam, bhajantam pritipurvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mamu puyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So by enlightening one another how to serve Krishna with more and more devotion, more and more consistently, then Krishna within the heart will give us the intelligence how to do that, and we'll be able to see, understand things more clearly. And then he says, Tesham eva nukam paratam, aham agana jam tamaha, nasham yam yatma bhavashto, gana dhipena bhashvataha. That have compassion, I dwelling within the heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So if you follow the process, especially the process of bhakti, then Krishna will enlighten us, and we will understand things better, until one day we'll understand things clearly. So that's the purpose. And if we don't understand things clearly, now then in the Association of Devotees, we should humbly investigate, hear from those who understand better than we do, try to understand what they're saying, try to put into practice the method that they're describing, that Krishna has described, and by doing that, come to the same stage of enlightenment that the great sages had in the past. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana, bahu shakaya nantascha buddhiya vyavasayana. Now those who are actually enlightened, they understand everything in the same way. But those who are interested in lording it over the material nature and enjoying their senses, who are proclaiming that they're the saviors, they have many different opinions about what Krishna is saying or what's reality. But those who are given up the desire to enjoy the material, control the material nature and enjoy it, they all have the same understanding of things. Is that all right? Yes.
Maharaj, you said that certain individuals or demoniac or unenlightened individuals can be sometimes either consciously untruthful or unconsciously untruthful. It seems that being truthful or untruthful is an intentional act. So can you give some examples of what you meant by unconsciously untruthful?
Well, just like George Washington. He had the reputation that he cut down a cherry tree, and when they asked him, he was probably the first president, probably the first one of the rare people in this world to say, "I cut it down." So that was considered to be truthful. But he didn't know is that he didn't cut it down, because he's not the doer. The Moses material nature cut it down, and he was controlled by them. So he tried to be truthful, but still whatever he said was false, because he was in ignorance. He didn't know who he is or who he was. Therefore, what he was saying was ultimately untruthful. He didn't know his position in the Moses material nature, being controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he made a statement that he tried to be as truthful as possible, and it had an element of truth in it, but ultimately it was untrue. He didn't know there were five factors in the cause in every activity. So he lied. But he was trying to be truthful. Yes. On the other hand, if he would have said, "My brother did it," that would have been worse.
Technically, he didn't lie. Right, he told the truth about that. He made a mistake as far as understanding. You know, this is a legalistic definition. In other words, if someone is in ignorance and they say something, they're not speaking the absolute truth, but they're not lying because they're making a mistake.
No, but they are lying.
No, they're not. Lying means intentionally telling an untruth. If you unintentionally tell an untruth, if someone asks me, "Is Palladinana Swami in the temple?" I say, "Yes." But you've entered the temple and gone out this door. Did I tell a lie? I just made a mistake.
But when Krishna says, "Asatyam apratishtam te," so what does the word satya mean?
Satyam?
Yeah.
It means truth.
True. So if they're asatyam, untrue. And why are they untrue? Was George Washington asatyam?
What that means is that they are declaring that there's no truth to this world. Asatyam. That's what that verse means. Jagadhahu anishwaram. This is what they're saying. They're saying there's no truth.
I'm looking at the other verse.
Huh?
Pravritim cha, nivritim cha, jananavidor asaram, asatyam napichacharo, nasochim napichacharo, nasatyam tesha vidyate.
I'm not arguing that the demons are big liars. Don't get me wrong. They lie all the time. But if it's someone to say something that's
Wait, I'm not saying lying. I was saying that was a different word that was put in there. I was saying that they're not truthful.
Yeah.
In other words, truth depends upon understanding reality. If you don't understand reality, you can't be perfectly truthful. If you think that I'm the controller and I'm on the enjoyer, that's not the truth. If I think I'm the doer, that's also not the truth. Now, that's why I said intentionally and unintentionally, or consciously and unconsciously untruthful. Because you may consciously try to be truthful. But you can't be truthful unless you're God conscious. You can't actually be truthful.
All I'm saying is that that's an expanded use of the word. Untruthful has two meanings according to the dictionary. Contrary to truth, which is what you're saying it is, and given to falsehood, mendacious, in other words, someone who consciously speaks the falsehood or lies. So they're untruthful in the first sense. What they're speaking is contrary to truth. But they may not be untruthful in the second sense.
Yeah, that's why I use the two things. That's why I said the two things. When they're consciously and unconsciously untruthful.
We agree, 100%.
What's that?
We agree, 100%.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.